Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 372 points, the Nasdaq up 57. You're listening to NPR News in Washington.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
This morning, the Kodiak Emergency Services Organization announced a new positive COVID-19 case. As with the recent uptick in cases in Kodiak, this new case is also a non-resident in the seafood industry. This brings Kodiak's total number of cases to 33. Kodiak's public health official Elsa DeHart gave an update on Kodiak's case count on this morning's episode of The Lowdown.
There have been, so right now there are 19 of them are recovered. One of them, their last day is today. So really 11 of them were transported off the island for isolation because they had been in a remote area and they thought that was safer, which was good. One was hospitalized.
The hospitalized patient is currently recovering in Anchorage. Currently, there's only one active case on the island. Even with these new cases, Kodiak is still designated as a low-risk or green-level community.
Well, we've been really lucky because all of our cases have really been quickly isolated away from the community. And so we haven't had a lot of community transmission, which is great. And that's most likely why we're still considered a green. If we get a bunch of cases that are odd cases around town, we can't figure out where they came from. They're not, you know, they're people who've been in town the whole time. Then we're going to start worrying.
The Kodiak Emergency Services Organization will provide updates on this recent case during tomorrow's weekly briefing, which you can hear right here on 100.1 FM KMXT at noon. The Kodiak man who was attacked by a brown bear on Sunday continues to improve at Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. Don Zimmerman was jogging on a trail near the gravel pit on Pillar Mountain when a bear surprised him. He told his son, Dave, that he didn't have time to be afraid, that the attack was over in a matter of seconds. Zimmerman's son says his father, who is 71, is undergoing some final medical procedures to make sure his wounds are clean and there are no infections. He expects him to make a complete recovery and says he should be able to return home soon. Wildlife biologists are still investigating the attack, which they say remains a mystery. Extensive efforts to track the bear were unsuccessful, but tufts of hair from the bear were collected and sent to Anchorage for DNA testing. There's another round of funding from the Small Business Emergency Grant Program. The application process opened on Monday. The program is a partnership between the City of Kodiak and the Kodiak Economic Development Corporation. In the first round, almost $2.5 million was distributed to more than 200 businesses affected by the coronavirus pandemic. There's about $600,000 available in this next round. Some of the funding comes from the Federal CARES Act, which is being routed from the state to the City of Kodiak. Funds are available not only for the City of Kodiak, but the region. Even if a business received aid in the first round of relief or from other sources, it may still be eligible if it can document the need. There's not much time to apply for assistance. The application process closes on August 21st. You can find more information at the Kodiak Economic Development Corporation website or go to the Discover Alaska office next to the ferry terminal. The Kodiak pink salmon commercial fishery is starting to pick up steam. It takes pink salmon 2 years to return to their natal streams. Typically, even numbered years like 2020 are weaker. But James Jackson, the area management biologist for Kodiak Commercial Fishery, says so far, so good.
It is a bit of a surprise. It looks like the harvest right now is coming in a bit above forecast and above average, which is good to see.
Jackson says pinks are running strong, mainly in the southwest part of the district, where escapement was at record levels. The runs in the inner bay are weaker, with escapement barely trickling in. Jackson hopes this will balance out.
You know, we're right into the meat and potatoes of the run now, so we should be plugging along at, you know, 600,000 to 800,000 pinks a day, and we'll see where this takes us.
Jackson says pink salmon hatchery fish should start kicking in soon. They typically run later than the wild stocks. The late run sockeyes is seeing above average escapements, but Jackson says it's still early. The early run of sockeyes were not very strong this year, but escapement goals were met. Speaking of sockeyes, the record low sockeye salmon escapement in the Sultry River drainage has closed it to sports fishing. The Sultry is not only one of the largest sports fisheries on the island, but one of the most popular. The emergency order from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game went into effect on Saturday and runs through the end of the year. Biologists blame two factors for poor escapement into Sultry Lake: a weak run and low water levels. Since July 29th, fewer than 6,300 sockeye have passed through the Sultry Creek Weir, way below the escapement goal of 15,000 to 30,000 sockeyes. Tyler Pollum, the area manager for Kodiak Sports Fisheries, says typically about 75% of the run has passed by this time of the season, so it's unlikely the escapement goal will be met. If you've had COVID-19 and recovered, it's possible your blood could help others battling the disease. It's what's called convalescent plasma. That's the liquid part of the blood, the plasma, from donors who have had COVID and developed antibodies. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration considers the treatment as still under investigation, but transfusing convalescent plasma into COVID-19 patients has shown promising results, including in Alaska. The Blood Bank of Alaska says it has distributed about 30 units of convalescent plasma to hospitals around Alaska, with at least one person in the Fairbanks area attributing his recovery to infusions of convalescent plasma. The Blood Bank is looking for more people to donate. Here's Quality Assurance Director Melissa Nearid.
With the increase in cases, we've had an increase in demand for the plasma, and so we've put out another call for people to come in.
Nearid says the demand comes from doctors treating COVID patients with severe life-threatening infections. She says the blood bank sends a doctor convalescent plasma after the FDA gives its approval. Nearid says the screening process is the same as for any blood donor, except the blood bank also needs confirmation the donor tested positive for COVID-19 and had mild to severe cases, meaning they're not looking for anyone who was asymptomatic. And Nearid says the donor needs to have been fully recovered for about a month.
So we want to know that you had it. We want to test results saying that you had it. And then we wait for 28 days after your last symptom.
For more information about convalescent plasma and how to donate, available at bloodbankofalaska.org. Alaska is now first in the country in the number of coronavirus tests per resident. Governor Mike Dunleavy cited the statistic in his weekly news briefing yesterday.
We're working really hard at making sure that we have tests available. We're testing folks to let them know if they in fact have been infected so they can get the medical care that they need.
Alaska has the second lowest death rate of residents with the virus after Hawaii, but the share of Alaskans who test positive has been increasing, and state and local health officials have said the number of new cases has been growing faster than the ability of public health workers to investigate everyone who COVID-19 patients have had close contact with. The news briefing also included new information on changes to testing related to travel that will go into effect on August 11th. Out-of-state travelers will be required to either have a negative test taken within 72 hours of departing for Alaska or prove that they have results of a test taken within 72 hours that are pending. Until out-of-state travelers have a negative result, they will be required to self-quarantine. Also, non-resident travelers who haven't taken a test will still be able to take one on arrival in Alaska, but they will have to pay a fee and will be required to quarantine until they have a result. Children 10 years old and younger won't be required to have tests. Crum also said tests also would be available at airports for Alaskans who are flying to rural communities. Yesterday evening's rocket launch was scrubbed at the Pacific Spaceport Complex near Passaic. Astra, an aerospace company based in California, was making a second attempt to launch their Rocket 3.1, a small rocket capable of delivering small satellites to a low-orbit cluster of telecommunications satellites, after their first attempt on Sunday. That launch was canceled due to a wayward boat in their hazard zone. But with favorable conditions on Tuesday, Astra tried again. However, troubleshooting what they called a, quote, minor issue, unquote, took longer than they expected. The launch window that was approved by the FAA ended at 8 p.m., and because of the delay, Astra could not launch in time. Today's weather is not favorable for a launch, so Astra will make a third attempt Thursday evening. And I believe their window is from 6 to 8 p.m. The Alaska Federation of Natives announced in a news release this morning that the 2020 annual convention will go virtual. KNBA's Trip Krause reports on how the decision was made on the safety concerns for the coronavirus.
According to a statement from Alaska Federation of Natives President Julie Kitka, she says, quote, "It was a really tough decision, but the health and safety of our delegates, participants, and attendees comes first," end quote. According to the news release, the virtual convention will be scheduled October 15th and 16th. There will be no in-person portion this year, but the virtual convention will include live presentations and pre-recorded videos from Native leaders and state and federal officials. Alaska House Speaker Bryce Edgman will deliver the keynote address. Later in the release, Kitka writes, quote, "Never has the need for responsive, transparent governance been more apparent than this year, with the COVID-19 global pandemic continuing to impact all Alaska communities," end quote. The theme for the 2020 convention is Good Government, Alaskans Decide, and a nod toward Census 2020 and the upcoming elections. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
And Alaska ranks among the top quarter of states with STD cases. Its syphilis outbreak began 2 years ago, and cases continue to rise. As KHNS's Claire Strumpel reports, the COVID-19 pandemic has prevented public health professionals from getting a handle on the sexually transmitted disease.
State epidemiologists recently reported the largest number of syphilis cases ever in the state, and there are online records going back to the 70s. Nearly 250 people reported syphilis cases in 2019, more than double the cases the year before. Then came COVID-19.
People don't stop having sex just because there's a pandemic going on.
Susan Jones is a registered nurse and the HIV-STD program manager for the state's epidemiology department.
The pandemic being kind of full scale and operational, it's interfered with public health's ability to respond to the ever-increasing number of syphilis cases. And so the message needs to get out so individuals who are at risk for having syphilis know that they need to go in and get tested and treated.
She said some people who should get tested may be avoiding clinics and hospitals right now. And public health's best weapon against syphilis is contact tracing. But lately, the department is overwhelmed by COVID-19. Jones's epidemiology section is now a surge center for COVID-19. So staff that usually work on STDs are fighting the coronavirus. Jones said she had to pull some staff off of pandemic work and back into syphilis prevention. But she said COVID-19 is not to blame for the spike in cases last year. Federal funding for STD prevention has declined, and the state's department hasn't grown either.
You know, I think that the structure of public health has been diminished over the years. If you look at the section of nursing and the depletion of funds and staff in the section of nursing, that has negatively impacted our ability to control outbreaks.
Syphilis is easily treatable. It's a bacterial infection usually transmitted by sexual contact. Symptoms can be a painless sore, usually on a mucous membrane like lips or genitals. There's also usually a rash. But those go away, and some people may not know they have it. But if left untreated, it can affect the heart, brain, and other organs. Syphilis in Alaska cuts across all age groups, from teenagers to senior citizens. Heterosexual people account for most of the cases. A third of last year's cases also reported using methamphetamine or heroin. A quarter of the cases had been homeless and a quarter incarcerated. Jones says it's much harder to do outreach for certain at-risk populations because she doesn't see patients in person.
That's been the biggest barrier for us.
That's Jones, the state public health nurse again.
Before, we were going out into the field. We were going out to where we could find individuals or places where individuals would hang out and offer a free outdoor testing clinic in the park or someplace like that. We've even gone into homeless camps, and we're not doing that now. So there may be people that are undiagnosed.
Those undiagnosed people are why her estimate is that this year's syphilis case count will be even higher. If the current trend continues, she says this year's count could be closer to 300 cases. And it's not just an Alaska problem, although the state does have a high rate of STDs. Combined rates for syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea are at an all-time high in the rest of the country, too. Reporting in Haines, I'm Claire Strumpel.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. There's an easier way to buy and sell fish. More on seafoodauction.net after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
Fishermen, registered buyers, and hatcheries have a new and easier way to do business online from a single location. It's seafoodauction.net, based in Kenai.
This is somewhat like an eBay in that it's a platform for fishermen to go to, advertise, hey, I'm going fishing on this date for X amount of pounds of quota, and all the normal buyers that are around here can go to one spot to see what fishermen are going out when and how much. So existing companies that these fishermen are used to selling to have the opportunity to bid through this platform.
Nate Berga is the Seafood Auction creator. He has over 20 years experience in both fishing and seafood buying. The Seafood Auction streamlines sales for all parties, he says, in a process that's completely above board.
Fishermen, of course, often wonder, are they getting the best price and did they call the right buyers? And then from the buyer's side, you know, no one really knows what's going on necessarily and who's paying what. So this provides transparency in the marketplace.
The seafood auction also can streamline sales of hatchery cost recovery salmon, the fish they sell to help fund their operations. Instead of them soliciting bids from various buyers, it could all be done online.
Hatcheries maintain the control in that they approve who can participate in the auction. Once that's established, those companies can go ahead and bid, and it's just a normal auction format. Highest bidder wins.
Right now, amidst the COVID pandemic, seafoodauction.net is the easiest way to streamline buying and selling. Berga says that's a welcome break.
Things are uncertain right now, and this definitely gives them an option.
Sign up for free at seafoodauction.net and find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMC instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
No personal messages today, so let's jump right into the weather. 61 degrees, fair skies, northeast wind at 6 miles an hour right now in Kodiak. It's a beautiful day, beautiful afternoon, looking at a high near 66. Tonight, though, the showers move in around 10, 11 o'clock, and then it'll turn into rain around 11. Low around 54, south wind around 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. That's right, it's coming. Tomorrow, in Kodiak, rain mainly before 11 a.m., then scattered showers after 2 p.m. High near 60, south wind of 20 to 25 miles per hour, decreasing to 10 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. If you're heading up to Homer, it's 65 degrees right now. It looks like they've hit their high for the day. Sunny skies, wind southwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow the rain is moving in. They're looking at a high of 58 and a 90% chance of rain. And in Anchorage right now, it's 65 degrees also. They got a high of 70 coming up this afternoon. Winds south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Anchorage, high of 63, 20% chance of rain, wind southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. Well, today is Wednesday, the 5th of August. The sun rose at 6:13 a.m., and it will set tonight at 10:18 p.m., giving us about 16 hours and 1 minute of daylight. And we will have lost about 4 minutes and 25 seconds of daylight, but the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 6:15 a.m. Record high was 84 in 1944. Record low was 40 in 1922. Well, if you're heading out onto the water, let's take a look at your forecast out there. A complex 1,000 millibar low, that is 250 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island, will exit the southeastern Gulf Thursday morning, but then a new front is going to approach the western Gulf Wednesday afternoon and lift on north across the Gulf through Friday morning. A 992 millibar low will form along the front by Thursday afternoon and move to 25 nautical miles northeast of Kodiak City by Friday morning. Hence more rain, a little bit more rain. Let's see, do we have some small craft advisories, it looks like. For west of the Barren Islands, including Kamishak Bay, there's a gale warning tomorrow. Right now there's a west wind of 15 knots becoming south in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet. But tomorrow, southeast wind of 35 knots becoming east of 25 knots in the afternoon with seas at 13 feet and rain. For the Barren Islands east today, west wind of 15 knots with seas at 5 feet. Tonight, southeast wind of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet and rain. And tomorrow, there's a small craft advisory, southeast wind of 30 knots with seas at 8 feet and rain. From Marmot Island to Sitkanak, small craft advisory tonight with a south wind of 20 knots becoming southeast of 30 knots after midnight. Seas at 8 feet and rain, and small craft advisory tomorrow. Southeast wind of 30 knots early, becoming southwest of 20 knots with seas at 9 feet. For Chiniac Bay tonight, there's a small craft advisory. South wind of 15 knots, becoming southeast of 25 knots after midnight. Seas of 2 feet, building to 7 feet later on with rain. And tomorrow, small craft advisory for Chiniac Bay. Southeast wind of 25 knots, diminishing to 15 knots in the afternoon. Seas at 8 feet, subsiding to 3 feet in the afternoon with rain. For Marmot Bay, small craft advisory tonight with a southeast wind of 15 knots increasing to 25 knots after midnight. Seas at 3 feet, building to 8 feet after midnight, and a small craft advisory tomorrow. Southeast wind of 25 knots diminishing to 15 knots in the afternoon. Seas at 9 feet, subsiding to 4 feet in the afternoon. And finally for the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory tonight with a southeast wind increasing to 25 knots with seas at 5 feet. And a small craft advisory tomorrow. Seas at 5 feet, southeast wind of 25 knots early, becoming variable at 10 knots. Seas at 5 feet, subsiding to 2 feet in the afternoon with rain. For our tides, we've got a low tide in the Kodiak District coming up. We're coming off of a low tide. High tide coming up at 4:30 p.m. of 7.57 feet, and a low tide tonight at 9:56 p.m. of 1.80 feet. And over on the west side in Nuganik Bay, high tide at 4:50 p.m. of 14.93 feet, and a low tide tonight at 10:41 p.m. of 1.31 feet. Right, here's a new message from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 18, date issued August 4th at 10 a.m. The Inner Katoy Bay and Outer Katoy Bay sections of the Afognak District will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Wednesday, August 5th, and remain open until further notice. Closed waters are increased from noon Wednesday, August 5th, until further notice to the fishing game markers placed by hatchery staff near Big Katoy Creek at stream number 252324, and to the fishing game markers at Little Katoy Creek, stream number 252323. There will be a 48-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Wednesday, August 5th, until 9 p.m. Friday, August 7th, in the following areas: in the Outer Karluk and Outer Iakuluk sections of the Southwest Kodiak District. And as previously announced, the following areas will close at 9 p.m. Wednesday, August 5th. The Big River, Ahalo Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Dakovac Bay, and Katmai sections of the Mainland District, and the Linchak Bay section of the Mainland District north of latitude of Cape Kekernoy at 57 degrees, 43.5 north latitude. The following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 a.m. Friday, August 7th. The Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Anton Larsen Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Zacher Bay, Spiridon Bay, and Uyak Bay sections remain closed. The Southwest Afognak, Southeast Afognak, Raspberry Strait, Northwest Afognak, Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay, Paranosa Bay, Northeast Afognak, and Duck Bay sections of the Afognak District. In the Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. The Northeast Kodiak District and the Seven Rivers and Two-Headed sections of the Eastside Kodiak District south of the latitude of Cape Kiavac at 57 degrees, 0.0 north latitude. The following areas remain open until further notice: the Iziut Bay section of the Afognak District and the Spiridon Bay Special Harvest Area or Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse hand gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fishing Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right, we have about a minute for some community announcements. This afternoon from 1 to 2:30 p.m. is a caregiving webinar on driving and dementia. Join the webinar for a discussion about the effects of normal aging on driving, as well as the effects of a dementia diagnosis. The webinar is free to attend. Share with friends and family, but registration is required. If you need help registering, contact Gay Wellman at 907-822-5620. And the class will be repeated on Wednesday, August 12th, if you can't make it. Tomorrow at the library at 6 p.m., they have Zoom Room Trivia Game. It's a fun way to socially distant and to stretch your memory bank. You can be anywhere with an internet connection to play. Contact Lori at 486-8688 to join or for more information. Kodiak Crab Fest is going virtual, and so is the 20th Annual Arts Show. The Frame Shop and Kodiak Arts Council invite Kodiak artists to submit new original creative work to be included in the art show. The show will accept and feature work submissions from Kodiak artists completed within the past 3 years. Eligible media include drawing, painting, photography, jewelry design, digital art, collage, pottery, woodwork, just about everything. Kodiak youth can participate too. The Crabfest Art Show will have a special category for young artists aged 17 and younger. The deadline to submit artwork is August 14th. Complete guidelines and a link to the online submission form can be found at kodiakarts.org. Thanks for listening to the Island Messenger. Coming up, I think we got the bunker.